We might alienate some listeners on this one.
Oh, everybody likes the Big Track Commandments. Come on.
I'd be bothered if all three of our listeners were offended.
I know, right? That wouldn't hurt.
Well, considering I'm one and you're one, whoever that third person
is
out there,
I hope they like Notorious B.I.G.
I make the kids listen on the way to school. Does that count?
It's just the instrumentals. Like,
it's totally okay.
We're here.
We're here. It's episode 5.
Episode 5. Watching the Bulls-Cavs game.
Halftime just ended. We're going to try something a little different tonight.
Yeah?
Besides apparently playing the instrumental the entire time.
That's all right, you know. We do what we can.
Keep this on.
We keep it up for the people.
We do. I was going to drop a reference about the people, but that would be biting on a different podcast. I can't do that. I listen to too many. We can't bite other people's style. It wouldn't work. So if you couldn't tell by now, this is the Long Two. I'm Matt Deanna.
I'm Steve Harney.
We're in Lucas, Virginia. It's Thursday night, May 14th.
May 14th.
Game 6 of the Bulls-Cavs game is on. We're about halfway through the third quarter.
Cavs are running on a bit of a run here.
Yep.
About 15.
Not looking good. I think Kyrie is doubtful to return,
yep.
Right?
Kyrie's doubtful. He's on the end of the bench.
LeBron's playing like an animal.
And it looks like the entire Cavs team is playing.
Tristan Thompson. I've been impressed with Tristan Thompson.
So have I. He's been playing great
lately. He's playing his way into a huge contract.
He is, you know, but how much do you trust him without two superstars also playing right beside him?
Well, I think he's going to stay with the Cavs, if anything.
I think he has to.
They'll probably overpay
him. I don't think he should go anywhere else and try to take a... He's a great third player. He's that third guy. He's a three. He's not going to be your star, you know. He's not going to be the...
Well, he might even be a good sixth man, especially for them next year. You know, he's got the same agent as LeBron James.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps him.
That does help.
So if anyone's going to overpay for him. But, I mean, it's kind of a lost skill. I think Zach Lowe wrote about it a while ago. I'll just try to turn this off.
Yeah, I was really... It was great background.
It's tempting, but... Yeah. All right, I'll get it. Zach Lowe wrote about this earlier this year about kind of the dying breed of the four, the traditional four.
Traditional four.
Like, if you're not a power forward that can shoot threes, you're losing a spot in the league at this point. So he's kind of a rare breed at this point. He doesn't shoot well at all.
He doesn't.
Dives to the rim, but he's not big enough to be a center. I mean, maybe a backup center in the right lineups.
Hey, there's a lot to be said for, you know, tenacity underneath. You play tough D and you get after rebounds, you can have a nice long career. And I think if he develops a small, you know, a little jump shot, you know, somewhere, that maybe a little 10-footer.
Just the mid-range.
12 to 15-footer, a little step out to help on, you know, screen rolls, something like that, a little pick. You know, let him set that pick and just kind of flare out and get a knockdown jumper. He have a very nice career, especially with the Cavs.
Yeah, I think one of the tricky things is at this point, if he's the screener on a pick and roll, everyone knows he's rolling right to the rim. So he just needs to keep people honest.
He needs to develop that jumper.
Just to only hit a few a game, just to keep people honest that when he does dive and that still be his primary weapon, it could be useful.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to look at his stats right now. I mean, he's gotten... His field goal percentage has gone way up. I mean, he's been in the league 4 years now. This was his best year shooting. He shot almost 55%. It's good.
That is good.
It's very good. It should be better for someone that doesn't shoot jumpers at all, actually. But considering he came from 44%, he's trending upwards, if nothing else. So.
Decent free throw shooter. I think he sits in the 60-70% range, I think.
Free throw percent is 64. Career 63% shooting.
So, I mean, that's something you obviously work on. And
yeah.
Yeah, if he's shooting better than some of these guys out here shooting free throws.
Good. Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if we're ready to talk about that again.
No, I don't know.
No, should we start with that? Let's start with that series.
Let's start with that series. Okay.
That will be on tonight, so by the time you hear this, that game will have already happened. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I hope that series ends tonight.
Absolutely.
I hope it ended. I wish it would have ended. Last game, I can't take it.
I think we talked about that last week. I thought that the Rockets were going to get one. I couldn't see them not. They were going to take the one at home, and they played inspired. I mean, that was their best game, and they played. They played very well, all around. Dwight Howard, he had a nice game. Harden, he was battling the flu. I think he's still battling the flu.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
He had a great game playing sick.
The series has been hard to watch, though. It's like the Clippers are out there just balling, doing everything they can. That five looks great. They look smooth when they're not being fouled.
I turned off game four.
I
couldn't do it.
It was
34 free throws.
From DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
So I was so angry from that game, it prompted me to write something the next day for nylonCalculus.com. It was the least stats I've used in an article to date at this point. In my illustrious, I'm being sarcastic, career writing at Nylon Calculus, it was all basically just my feelings about that chaos, because that was offensive. That was foul to watch. It was painful. I don't even care. I used to be a proponent of make your foul shots, just make your shots and everything will be fine. That was way overboard. That's going to be a tipping point going forward, I think. We're going to remember Mother's Day as the day that the Rockets went nuts with that and just overexploited it at this point. Just took it too far, it felt like, and I didn't like it at all.
Did they take it too far? Because he honestly went – he was 14 for 34. Hey, they got blown
out. They took it too far.
The Rockets got blown out, but still, that's 14 for 34.
Yes, okay.
I would put him on the line
all the time. And this is my issue. Normally, I will side with the strategery and the statistics and the analytics behind a move. So, yes, even if he's only making half of them, which he didn't even do, one point is your best option as a defense out of two or three, right? So I get that. However, the actual gameplay and as a fan, I could not take it.
I couldn't take
brutal.
It either. I turned it off. I couldn't watch it.
It's just that's
watch
why I say it's gone too far, because I mean there's some engaging shows there. They got blown out. The Clippers, when they were running things great, and it was just disjointed. It took way too long. I can't support it.
You know,
it at this point.
I think doing it here and there, absolutely, I think it's a good strategy, especially for somebody like Jordan or like Jordan, who can't make his free throws. I think it's a good strategy once in a while, but that much, I don't. The Rockets could never get in a rhythm.
Here's what else I didn't like about it. They rolled out their bench. I think they went 11 deep that game. Playoff teams don't go 11 deep.
No.
And I'm not even talking about the last 5 to 6 minutes of the blowout. They rolled out most of that bench throughout the game. They brought them out in the second quarter just to intentionally foul. Like, that. It gets to a point, and again, I wrote about this. There's a strategy to employ that's within the confines of the rules. A foul is there to be dealt with because it's you did something against the rules. As soon as you're intentionally breaking the rules, you've lost the spirit of the sport at that point. And then how do you retain fans if you say, hey, this is our strategy. We're going to intentionally break the rules and exploit this deficiency. I get the exploitation part of it. It's completely unenjoyable to watch.
Yeah, totally unenjoyable. But to me, them doing it this much in game four was a sign of, we can't stop them. We have to do this. And the fact that they were losing so badly, for most of that game wasn't close. It was much, the score may have been a little closer at times, but that game wasn't close. You know the Clippers were going to win and walk away with it, or run away with it.
It was a walk at this point. It was bad. So, interesting thing about the Rockets. In their two wins this series, their offensive rating, so their estimated points per 100 possessions, right, has been 128 and 110. Not surprising, right? In their three losses, it's been 100.7 or less. Realistically, in two of their losses, it was down around 91, 93. So, 90 points per 100 possessions, that's not going to do it.
Well,
obviously, huge contrast there, anywhere from 130, almost 130 down to 90. So I think for them, it's pace, and they've got to maximize their possessions. That's what it really comes down to.
Their two victories are the only times they scored over 100 points in this series.
Yeah.
The Clippers have been over 100 points in every single game, I want to say. Most games, they've been close to the 120s.
The reason I bring this up is you can't sustain any kind of consistency or pace if you're only playing off of a missed foul shot or a made foul shot.
Totally agree.
You can't run that. You can't run any semblance of an offense and have this consistency to it. So it's another reason why I think it's almost short-sighted to say that there's strategery, as I like to say, behind that, because you've got to factor in all these other things.
Absolutely.
Namely, the pace that you can play at and how it changes your offense if that's what you're doing.
I think if you get into a rhythm, you want to stay in the rhythm, and you can use the hack a player to help that rhythm, to help your comeback or to pad your lead. But I don't think they used it correctly in there. And like you said, you could not get into a flow. I think the biggest thing, you got people, okay, Ariza is a three-point shooter. He plays off a flow. I mean, that's how he is. He's not I'm going to dribble into my own shot. He's not going to create his own offense. Where he's the best is off of that offense flowing. He comes off that screen. He's right there for the kick out. That's his three. Harden is more of a one-on-one player. He doesn't he can play off of this, but even this seems to take out his rhythm. And Howard's just kind of all over the place until they get that offense really kind of flowing and moving. Mm-hmm. And they're a movement kind of team. They need that, especially against the Clippers, who just get it and go. Even with the free throws, they were still with the game that he shot 34 free throws. I think they still had 120 points. Mm-hmm. You know, with their win,
they did.
So that obviously didn't impact their offense mm-hmm. at all.
No, the Clippers, that is absolutely. Oh, when JJ Redick was on fire, it was beautiful to see.
Yes.
So then the next game, the Rockets win. This is interesting. The main change they made is they inserted Josh Smith, the godfather of the long two, into
there
the starting lineup. They benched Terrence Jones. Josh Smith has not started a playoff game all postseason till that point, right? I maintain, and I've said this all season, I said this when he got waived by Detroit, at this stage of Josh Smith's career, realistically, during the course of his career, his best usage is when it's in small doses. So you want maybe 10 points, handful of blocks, 5 to 10 rebounds, about 5 assists, couple steals. You want an all-around game from him. You don't want 20, 25 points because it's going to be on 20, 25 shots.
No, he presses. He presses.
So his line from last game, he was 4 for 7 for 9 points. He had 1 block, 0 steals, 4 assists, and 7 rebounds. That seems like, meh, whatever, that's your starter. Yes, that is exactly what you want from Josh Smith. You don't want him to be the force in that offense by any means. You want Harden to take over. You want him to be an outlet to them. You want him involved with passing. I'm telling you. His assists, I mean, Blake Griffin is the better passer at this point. But
absolutely.
Josh Smith's assists are great. And when he's all-around game, he's engaged, it's much better to see. That's how you maximize his talent at this point, I think. And so that was really promising.
He settles. He's not the superstar that he used to be, kind of, you know.
When he was at his peak, I think he played his best when it was in doses, when he wasn't the primary guy.
He liked to press. Instead of letting offense, you know, I think that's some of the, you know, it takes a really, players take that next step to become elite, to where they can push themselves out of a slump. You know, there's very, very few players that can do that.
Yeah.
Josh Smith was not one of those players, so he obviously would get into a small slump and would press. He would push. He would push, make that offense come to him, but it wouldn't work. So he'd shoot, you know, 15, you know, bricks in a row. He'd try to make the forced pass. He'd try to, you know, instead of just letting the offense flow, letting it come back to him naturally. And when he goes in these small doses like that, I mean, that's an excellent game from him. And he does other things. He has other tangibles on that. I mean, he's,
mm-hmm.
he's a tough defender to get around. He's long. He's big. He's all around just, you know, he's a factor on the court when he's there and when he's not pressing, when he's just doing his thing.
The thing with him, and why I've kind of ad hoc nominated him as the patron saint of this wonderful podcast, is that just like the long two, the jumper that he is so well known for at this point, it's again, it's that dosage. And in small doses, in the right situations, by the right player, it can still be effective, just like he can still be effective. So before we wrap up that series, what's your prediction for tonight for Game 6 in L.A.?
I think the series is already over. Okay. I think, Rockets grabbed one off of just because they were playing at home. Clippers run away with it tonight. That was their worst game. That was the Clippers' worst game shooting in the series. They dropped, all the way down to, they shot 25% from the field, something like that. 30% from three-point line the last game. So they just had a horrible game. I mean, Griffin's still 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
He's been amazing to watch. I think everybody else kind of comes back to where they've been. And before we close up on this, small, slight apology to Austin Rivers. he's been playing.
I wasn't going to bring it up. I was going to leave it alone.
He came back to land. You know, I mean, he floated down from the cloud he was on last game. But game four, 25 points. Looks solid. Only, one turnover, which, that's good
the
for him.
The key to Austin Rivers, and he's akin to Otto Porter in this way, who we'll get to a little bit later, who you may owe an apology there too or not.
I already apologized for him.
Yeah, you might have to do a weekly at this point. We'll see. But it's really, to me, it's not even about maximizing what they can do or maximizing their potential. It's actually minimizing the bad things they do.
Yes.
I don't care how many points Austin Rivers scores, as long as you know he has to play at this point. It's about minimizing the turnovers, the unforced errors, the missed assignments on defense. If you can minimize all that and keep him in tune in the game, I'm okay with however many shots he takes, because when he's in, generally they need someone to be generating offense. So I am fine with that when he's in sync and in the game. I like the Clippers winning tonight because I need the bleeding to stop. This series.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
The
Rockets just not a boring team to watch right now. I mean, they're not even fun.
I've got a deeper theory on all this. I don't want to go too deep on it right now. I will say there's something to be said, and I think Daryl Morey has admitted this, that when you assemble a team and you really only look at it from a pieces standpoint of, I can acquire this capability, and this capability. And when you break down the team structure of a winning franchise in the NBA in the past 20 years, it had X, Y, and Z components. So if I can get X, Y, and a part of Z, I should contend, right? But I hate to say it, but the intangibles and the things that are harder to quantify, chemistry, flow, teamwork, relationships, whatever else it is, some of that stuff really does matter, I think. And I think you kind of see it with the Rockets a little bit, where they have assembled all the right pieces. They've got a defensive big man that is at the rim, can rebound, block shots, catch alley-oops, has just enough post-game to be serious. They've got James Harden, the perennial runner-up to the MVP. They've got all the right. They got the corner three specialists. They got the 3-and-D guys. They got a couple semi-microwave guys off the bench. A lot of the pieces that when you describe a champion, but they don't gel like a championship team. They gel like a team that's been acquired and ad hoc thrown together and said, look, if we piece all these together, that looks like a champion.
Like a pickup team.
In a way, yeah. So I think there is something to be said for all of that.
I totally agree, especially in the playoffs. I think that's where your team mentality, your cohesiveness, your closeness, your that ability for people to be lifted by their teammates, by that one guy, that seventh man coming off the bench who's just going to give you so – you're going to see him throwing everything he's got on the line to win this game is going to elevate the teammates. I don't see that with the Rockets.
Do you think they like each other?
I don't know.
I ask you because I have no idea.
I have no idea. I mean, these guys do their own thing. I think they have to like each other on the court. I think being, off the court relationships definitely help. I'm not saying these guys have to be buddy-buddy, but I mean, you do have to have that.
They don't play like they're buddies.
No, they don't.
But who generally does, because we've got the Instagram photos from LeBron James to prove it, is the team winning Game 6 of the Eastern Semis right now.
Yes.
It's Cleveland Cavaliers. So the fourth quarter just started, 73-60. The Cavs are up. This is a loaded question, but do the Cavs hang on? Do they win this series tonight?
Before this started, I thought Chicago would come out on fire. I thought they were for sure going to go to a Game 6, that they would not lose to the Cavs on their floor in this elimination game. I had the Cavs winning this series. I thought they would take it at home, but I don't know. I'm surprised to see them down 13 to start this fourth quarter like this. LeBron really flipped a switch. He seems to be playing like superstar LeBron. I mean the guy that we used to see in Cleveland when he carried that team all the way in, you know, deep into the playoffs, where he'd just throw them on his back and just say go.
I don't like your odds when you enter the fourth quarter of an elimination game against LeBron James down by 13. I don't care about home or away or whatever. I don't like your odds when you're going against when you're going against him. And people have said this before. I mean, who are you going to pick for this and that? And it's also evenly matched.
I've seen going with a lot of Heinrich.
Going with LeBron James, don't anger me. He made some big plays down the stretch the other night. I think they actually put him in when Gibson got kicked out for that weird leg hold thing. But
Villanova just hit another three. The Cavs played surprisingly well throughout this series, even with missing Kevin Love. I'm telling you, hey, Kyrie Irving has been a shell of himself through this series. He's been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he got hurt again this game. Stetton, when he came down on whomever's foot. Now, mm-hmm. I think the impact is going to be whoever they face in this next series. I think if Kyrie's not healthy, either team has a very good chance, a better chance than the Bulls to play off. Just because they're the teams he's... The Cavs would be facing next round have a lot more consistency on offense than the Bulls do. The Bulls may have more structure in their offense, but there's more consistency from the Hawks and from the Wizards. I think.
Weird stat for you. Every time the Cavs get less than 40 total rebounds in a game this postseason, they lose. Which would only be twice and only be to the Bulls. Kind of a weird stat, but I've just been scanning to look at what's different in wins versus losses. Pace, not a good predictor. Offensive or defensive rating, they've kind of been all over the place. Mm-hmm. They played some really slow-paced games and won against the Bulls. They played some really fast games and won and lost. So the total rebounds is the only thing that really sticks out at the team stat level of when they lose, what's different. And they rebound less. So... Kevin Love, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. The three-point shooting, that hasn't been that great of a predictor. I mean, they shot 20% in one game and won against the Bulls, and then so be it. So that's the best thing I can see. I don't know about the Cavs losing at this point. It looks like they're going to run away with it.
I thought Gasol should have came back last game. I don't see, the way he's been playing today, you can't tell that he's had a hamstring injury. So to me, I don't think his hamstring was hurt, and I think he's a little soft on his sitting out.
Oh boy. Oh.
Come on.
That's kind of a hot take right there.
He's played tons of minutes tonight. He's played hard. You see nothing from the way he's played
tonight.
Maybe
it's because he's
rested. Well, I mean, that very well could be, but you know what? It's playoffs and you don't know. I mean, you go in there. Why would you take the chance? You know, had he been in there earlier, maybe they could have, you know, grabbed another one. Rose has played well. Butler has been an animal throughout most of the series. I just don't think they have enough.
Here, the only other glaring statistic in their two losses is free throw rate. So the number of foul shots attempts per field goal attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So how often they're getting to the line. Has been at its lowest in their losses. So it's been around 23%. Normally it's above 35. It's between 35 and like 50-ish. So that's the other... That and total rebounds are the two things that stand out when the Cavs have lost this postseason. It's been hard to find a favorite in the East because as interesting as this series has been and the buzzer beaters, and it's been kind of entertaining because it's also been a grind at some points.
Mm-hmm.
At this point... They got to be the favorites coming out of the East, right?
They have to be the favorite because LeBron James.
That's hard to argue with.
That's pretty much it. That's all you can really go at. And right now, and I wouldn't have said that in the first series, but he's got. I mean, something switched. He's playing ball and he's taking it. You know. He's putting them on their back. He's got that killer instinct, and he wants to win. So it's been a pleasure to watch.
Absolutely.
I mean, that final buzzer beater shot was just You could tell. He was like, just give me the ball. And as soon as he caught it and went up for the shot, you knew it was good. I mean, that thing was just, that was pure.
So speaking of buzzer beaters and the East and who's going to win, we got to talk about last night.
Oh.
We got to do it.
I want to.
Last night, so we live in the greater Washington, D.C. area, the DMV, as most people around here know it, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Last night was kind of a big night for D.C. sports, right? We had four different teams playing. The Nats were playing, the Capitals were playing in Game 7, the Wizards were playing, and the D.C. United were playing. I'm not here to talk about the merits of those other three games, but no. I know not everything worked out in Washington, D.C.'s favor.
Nope.
And
what, don't worry, the Caps how, did the same thing they always do.
Noted homer, Steve Harney, how are you holding up with last night's Wizards game?
The Wizards game hurt the worst. Actually, I think United and the Nats won. The
sure.
I think the Caps lost. I knew they were going to lose. They always lose. They go up 3-1 and they lose a series. That's how they did.
That's what I've heard.
I was running around screaming in silence. My kids were already asleep. So when oh my gosh! First I was cursing the TV out on the turnover. Then they came back and just another great play draw from Randy Whitman off of that timeout.
We got to talk about that.
I mean, where did these come from?
So he's made a lot of moves at this point where I don't know what you can say about it. He, the coaching strategies or the strategies that we're attributing to coaching at this point have been significantly different than they were in the regular season.
Absolutely.
We've talked about this before. Out of timeouts, the Wizards were generally brutal during the regular season. Out of timeouts, with the game on the line, the normal play called up was John Wall will dribble at the top of the key for 80% of the remaining time, and then he'll take a mid-range jumper.
Contested.
A contested mid-range long jumper, a long two, to then force overtime or whatever, which normally didn't go in.
Because he does not hit those shots.
Whether that was the play, whether he took it, who knows, who cares, it was frustrating to watch. The game prior to last night, so it was game 4, they ran 3 consecutive plays at the end of the game out of the timeout. I had never seen any of those 3 plays. Every time they got great looks, including the Paul Pierce missed 3.
He was so open, he was surprised.
So maybe that was a foul in the name. Maybe it wasn't. I'm not here to judge. I'm not a referee. They don't pay me for that. They pay me to run this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. But regardless, all 3 of those plays were fantastic looks. This version of Whitman was very nice to watch. So, I mean, I was impressed that every time they were making moves. So, and then last night, again, a good look. I got concerned that they were going to... I said out loud when it came up, let's see what happens. They have a history of poor out-of-timeout plays. That was a great play. It was an amazing shot from Pierce.
Again.
And then, I don't even want to say the defense fell apart. They didn't box out. You got to put a body on Horford.
I think John Wall played tremendous defense. I think he took Schroeder,
mm-hmm.
made a great block.
Yeah, that was a great play. They lost Horford.
Nene has got to get that ball, but he's also got to know. You got to have situational awareness. He knew that he had that ball. That if he couldn't wrap those giant hands of his around that ball and hold that thing tight, just slap it out of bounds. Just throw it away. Give yourself a chance to reset because okay, you slap it out of bounds. You got a second and a half. Chances are, it's going to be a tough contested jump shot. That's much better than an uncontested easy layup. Now, I am not taking any credit away from Al Horford because he played like an animal. I mean, that was a phenomenal game. And you know what? That last play was how he played the whole night. He was tougher than every single person on that court except for maybe John Wall. And it's just because his wrist is broken in 15 places, whatever. He's playing with a hook. I don't know what he's doing. But, I mean, he came out there and battled. I thought Bradley Beal had a great game.
2 games in a row, great game.
That backcourt is healthy now. I think this game, I think this series absolutely goes to a game 7.
Mm.
And here's what look, John Wall wasn't expected to play until probably that day. That was the first time he's gotten to play. So now he's back. Report is he has no swelling. He's fine. He's practicing. Team's getting back to playing with him after, you know, playing a couple games without him. And now they're going in, you know, first they got to get this victory, and then they have two more days off. I think they can pull this series out still. I think they're with it. I don't think this – I think that shot may – I'm hoping that losing that game like that kind of awakens the beast kind of thing where they're like, okay, we're not losing this. That was a short rotation for that Wizards team too. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of coach's decision did not play.
There's a lot of good things about that game besides the outcome. The Wizards were in charge for most of the game. I was really surprised that they lost, to be honest with you. I think Game 7 is certainly possible. I think if it gets to Game 7, it's going to kind of be kind of a crapshoot. We'll see which version of the Hawks shows up. Here's a weird stat. So keeping with my random searches in total rebounds, the Hawks have lost 4 times this postseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not every time, but 3 out of the 4 times, they've gotten more than 50 rebounds in a game. I don't know what to make of that, so when they rebound more, they lose. Like, their 3 highest total rebounding totals for the offseason were all losses, or the postseason, I should say. 51, 52, and 55, 2 losses to Brooklyn, 1 loss to Washington.
That's a very
I'm not quite sure what to make of anything, if anything, from that. I mean, generally, turns out, with the Hawks, generally, their field goal percentage is lower in their losses than in their wins. So,
saying is they score less points than the other team.
Here's a mild take for you. When they shoot worse, the Hawks don't win. There's been a lot of talk around open shots and contested shots, and I'm not sure how much of it has been the Hawks just not hitting what they normally hit in Washington's defense. I know their defenses look stout. I mean, they've played them very tight and very well.
Kyle Korver's had maybe 3 to 5 shots a game.
And that's the other thing, though. Korver has not played like Kyle Korver had the rest of the season.
Bradley Beal has been on him. I mean, and he's been the primary guard on him. They've switched a few others, but Beal has just been all over him.
But he's also gotten some wide-open looks, too.
He's gotten some great looks, but you know what? He's a rhythm shooter, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get... Now, that one he hit last night was, you know, from a world away. I mean, nobody expected him to pull that shot. And that, I want to say, may have been the second shot he even put up in the entire second half. So, I mean,
yeah,
I think any of us are going to say, all right, you're going to pull up a 34-footer and you haven't shot in, you know, 15 minutes of gameplay? Yeah, go ahead. That's not going to be your highest percentage shot. But, I mean, he knocked it down, and Korver's a great shooter, and he'll hit them when they count.
Yeah, I wonder how much of this is a slump versus defense.
I think it's defense, because he's not getting the shots. If he was missing, you know, 8, 10, 11 shots a game, then that's a slump. But he's not even taking them.
He definitely shot better in the Nets series, which starts to make me wonder if it is actually the defense that's causing this. Which is a credit to the Wizards. I mean, they've looked great this postseason. I'd love to see them continue to advance. They've been fun to watch, especially when John Wall's playing.
Another player we got to give, I got to give a lot of props to is Jeff Teague. Teague has been playing great.
Yeah, why wasn't he in at the end of the game? Did you catch that?
They like Schroeder, you know, which I don't understand.
No.
And here's one thing. The Wizards play tough defense. Why are they guarding his three-point shot? Just his form alone is just enough to be like, you can shoot that whenever you want.
He shoots way too much.
He does.
For a point guard with those weapons.
He's like on the bench. There's a reason why he doesn't start.
I thought it was odd that that last play was him on the drive.
No, because John Wall can stay with him easy. Yeah. He was faster than every Wizard on the floor without John Wall. With John Wall in there, you see why John Wall is a starting point guard and he is a come off the bench kind of player. The only reason they won Game 4 was because of Teague. Teague in that three-point shot at the end, the way he just controlled the offense, he had a couple of big ones. I mean, he's one of him and Horford have been just phenomenal in this series, and I agree with you. I don't understand why he got the ball. I mean, I guess it worked. He got to the rim. I guess people are comparing him a little bit to Rondo.
So I've seen that too, and it made sense to me at first. It seems like he's got big hands, kind of a flashy ball handler.
Can't shoot.
He can't shoot, it turns out. I get it, but I don't know, because Teague's an all-star, and I thought, I don't know either.
I don't see.
Yeah, Korver hasn't shot as well, nearly as well, against Washington as he did against Brooklyn. That's for sure. For whatever that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
So you think the Wizards win in seven?
You know, I called the Hawks in seven, our last cast, and I think I'm going with I'm switching back over to the Wizards.
Okay.
I think, I'm hoping, and I'm going straight homer right now. Something woke up, you know, and we can't, in D.C., we can't be this disappointed.
Oh boy.
This much all the time. And you know what?
Homer, brace yourself.
I made a pretty big bet. Not huge financial bet, but I did say when everybody, was really slamming the Wizards, I said, mark my words, the Wizards will be the closest to tasting a championship than any other Washington area sports team in the next few years. And so far, it's come to fruition. I mean, the Nats seem to choke it out, the Caps choke it out, and the Redskins, we won't even go there. So, I mean, you got DC United, but I was talking to, the major sports teams, just right now. Sorry for any soccer fans.
As an adult at this stage of my... Have I told you about my theory about sports at this point?
Uh-uh.
So, as a younger adult, prior to marriage, a family, children, responsibility, regular job, bills. I used to follow most sports. Baseball, football, basketball, a little hockey, even golf, whatever. I was into all of it, right? I've learned over time the best way to address this is to just ditch all of it except one. Pick one sport. Go all in entirely. Hence why we're recording a podcast, because I went overboard, obviously. But it's been a lot better for me. So a lot of what you've just said has gone right over my head, because I've stopped paying attention to other sports entirely. And it's been pretty rewarding, I gotta admit. I think it was a good decision.
I envy you. I like that.
So let's extend this a little further then. It's 93-71 right now. There's only 3 minutes left. It's a 22-point game. The Bulls are not going to win. I'm just going to say it. Bold prediction. By the time people listen to this, the Bulls have likely lost and have been eliminated. So Cleveland, and you're saying Washington. Who comes out of the East at this point?
You know, that's actually a question I was going to ask you.
All right.
To me, John Wall's healthy. If they are able to battle and beat the Hawks in seven games, I think they present a huge mismatch for Cleveland. I think if Kyrie Irving stays hurt, I don't think they have anybody that can guard John Wall. Bradley Beal, who do you put on him? LeBron can only guard one person at a time. I think down low, they have a very big advantage. I think with that stretch four with Paul Pierce, they have a big advantage. I think the Wizards actually have the best chance to knock off the Cavaliers. Hawks, I think the Hawks can do it. I think the Wizards can have a better chance of doing it.
Well, since you were going to ask me, I guess I'll treat it like you did ask me. I don't disagree with what you just said, and I think out of the Hawks and the Wizards are probably more of a problem right now for the Cavs. I'd say, however, I don't know, I don't feel very strongly that the Wizards are going to advance at this point. Every game's been close. And including when they've blown a big lead and then had to fight their way back, or they've been maintaining a lead and then they blew it at the end. I have concerns that they got to... I don't call myself a homer. That they've got to win two in a row at this point. I'm going to say Cleveland comes out of the East, because I don't think the Wizards advance into the next round. I think in a Hawks-Cavs series, it's the Cavs.
Yeah, I do too.
I think the Cavs are getting to a point where they're playing to the level of their competition. You know, the Celtics were not a very good team at this point. Those games were relatively close. Like, it was a sweep, but at the same time, it is what it is.
in this series, same kind of thing. They're also hitting their stride to a certain point, maybe, and battling past these injuries. They have LeBron James. The pieces that they have right now are looking better and better. So I would, if someone told me right now, what would I say? I'd say Cleveland. I'd like to see Washington advance.
The Hawks are a much more physical team than the Bulls. The Wizards are, too.
Yeah, oh, so that's the other thing. I thought the Bulls were going to be more of a problem for the Cavs than they have been.
Because their physicality, or...
Because I irrationally like their offense.
You do?
The spacing on their offense.
You do love their spacing.
Brings a tear to my eye. to a fault, apparently. So, I thought the Bulls would either advance or give them more of a struggle, and... At this point, that does not look to be the case. Random question for you. Does Tom Thibodeau coach the Bulls next season?
Heard a lot of rumors he's going to be jumping over to the Pelicans.
Yeah, I heard that today, too.
I don't think so. I think this is it. The Bulls had a good run. It's time to kind of rekey, retool. New coach. They're going to have to dump some players. I think Noah's been kind of on the downward slope. They need to retool a little bit.
That's a hard sell, though. I understand the Thibodeau stuff because there's a lot of bickering between management and all that kind of stuff. But Noah and Rose, really, that culture that I was talking about with the Rockets, the Bulls seem to have all the chemistry that the Rockets don't, for whatever that's worth. They have all the internal stuff amongst teammates. So that would be. This is kind of a sad end to an era, potentially.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't think they completely blow it up. I do think they retool. They see what they need. I guess the negotiations have been going with Butler, or they re-signed him already.
They're maxing him. Yeah, I don't think there's any way he leaves Chicago. I'd be stunned.
You see Gasol. He's. I mean, he is what he is. You get what you're gonna get. When he plays well, he's a great player to have. When he's soft, then he's almost a liability.
The silver lining in this is Derrick Rose has looked fantastic.
He has.
I don't care. I don't even care about his shooting percentages right now. I mean, actually on the court, he has been explosive and fun to watch, and it's been very nice to see him back in action at full speed.
It has. It's going to be, the question mark again for next season. Can he stay healthy? When is he going to get hurt? Not if.
Oh, that's cold.
It's when.
You're terrible. We're switching. On to the Warriors and Grizzlies. Enough of that. I don't even want to hear this. So, okay. Warriors-Grizzlies. Warriors roared back, and it is now 3-2. Game 6 is Friday night?
Yeah.
What's your takeaways from the series at this point?
Takeaways from this series. The only way Golden State is going to lose is when they beat themselves off of poor shooting. I think they are going to blow by. They're getting into the finals pretty easy. I think they win next game. They just haven't shot well the last couple games, and then finally kind of got back to where they were before. They let the game come to them, like we were talking about with Josh Smith. The entire team was doing that. Draymond Green was actually playing well, but Curry and especially Thompson were pressing so hard.
Curry went 6-for-13 from deep last game. That's generally good. I'll take those odds.
Yeah, and he hit them at great times during the game. I mean, just dagger threes. Klay Thompson seemed to be getting a little bit of a stroke back. I like to see him that he's not afraid to take his shots, which is something that shooters need to do.
Tony Allen was out. That certainly helps.
Yeah.
So I feel like the Warriors kind of cracked the nut on guarding Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So the Warriors' defense, best in the league this year. Interesting to see. It took about 3 to 4 games to figure it out. But once they did it, it's kind of been unstoppable to where they're only defending when Tony Allen, or realistically when Jeff Green, not so much for Jeff Green, but definitely with Vince Carter also. When Tony Allen's on the court, they're only guarding 4 guys.
Yeah.
And they're just saying, you're going to have to beat us.
You beat us.
And he doesn't have the offensive skill set to do that.
I mean, he had wide open shots.
That's what they're doing. They're putting Andrew Bogut on him, who's just
hanging around the rim.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So That's the recipe for that. Now, what'll be interesting, I think we're both in agreement that the Warriors win this series. I don't know if Memphis takes this to seven or not. I'd be surprised if this goes to seven. But if we've got a Warriors-Clippers Western Conference Finals, two teams that don't like each other, it's going to be awesome. I think
it's going to be great. What'll be interesting to me is if the Warriors keep doing this, and against that fabulous Clippers starting five, if they don't guard Barnes. Now, he is not nearly as much of an offensive liability as Tony Allen is, but he's got some of those tendencies also. Do you want to exaggerate that and just say, you're going to have to beat us, and just put Bogut on him and let him patrol the paint? Do you do that? Because Matt Barnes, he can go for 20
points. Matt Barnes can stroke. He's actually been shooting decently well in this Rockets series.
Do you ride the chance, is what I'm saying.
No, I think they match up better. I think, you know, they're not going to have it's a different pace. Clippers like to run. They like to get up and down the court just like the Warriors. The Warriors are much better at it. And not only that, they'll trade the 3-for-2 all day. They're better at it. So do they change it up? They might. I see Barnes is going to have a difficult time getting through and getting around Harrison Barnes, who's probably going to guard him, or Iguodala coming off the bench. I mean, they have options to get out there and guard Matt Barnes and not let him, you know, and still play off of him, but force him into bad shots. I don't think they're going to go. They got to worry about Blake Griffin.
I think it'd be an interesting strategy, and that's why you pack the paint. If you just didn't guard Matt Barnes at all and said, yeah, you're a better offensive player than Tony Allen, but you're going to have to be the guy that beats us.
I just roll the dice.
It's bold. I mean, maybe you only break it out like they did against the Grizzlies. Because why did it take so long for them to do this against the Grizzlies? Tony Allen is – this has been a thing for years now. A couple years ago, the Thunder did it. I mean, the Spurs have done it. It's always been – he's been a liability in the playoffs for this exact reason. Why did it take the second round and like 3 to 4 games into the second round for that to start happening? Was it pride? Was it – We don't need to resort to a gimmick. We got this. We don't need a gimmick. I don't understand what that was, but
I think there's a few things other than Tony Allen piece. You know, Conley's come back down. He was playing on cloud nine. He came back with his face, you know, retooled, you know, rebuilt and whatever. And you know, he played phenomenal. Hey, that first game back, I mean, he could see out of one eye, and, you know, I mean, he was just hurting. He got slapped in the face a few times, and, you know, and then second game, he cooled down a little bit. Third game, cooled down a little bit more, and in their loss, cooled down even more.
He needs to be an all-star next year.
He does.
It's offensive that he has not been an all-star.
He does. Gasol's had a phenomenal series. I think he's gone for a double-double every time.
All right, so let's take the predictions a step further. So you say Warriors-Clippers, as do I, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who comes out of that series?
I say Warriors come out.
In how many games?
I say Warriors come out in five.
Okay. Five? What? Five games against the Clippers? Wow.
I'm going five, and here's a couple reasons
That's
why.
That's bold.
I don't think Chris Paul is all the way healthy.
Okay.
I don't think they have the defensive. They don't match up well defensively.
Okay.
I don't think they have the firepower to hang with the Warriors if the Warriors play the way the Warriors have been playing, other than these past two games, two and a half games. I
can understand taking the Warriors. I don't see it happening in five games necessarily. I might just feel kind of hipster to say, I'm going to go with the Clippers in seven.
Look at that. Clips in seven.
Because of matchups. If you break down just the starting five on starting five, right? DeAndre Jordan can obviously guard Andrew Bogut. That's not an issue. And he can still patrol the paint, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blake Griffin on Draymond Green. That's an interesting matchup. I think it'll be a challenge for Griffin.
Draymond.
I mean, because I think it's both gonna, of them. It's, well, I'm talking about the Clippers guarding the Warriors. I think my biggest concern is how do the Clippers guard the Warriors?
Okay,
right?
I got you.
Griffin on Green is interesting because they'll get him in a lot of pick and roll action probably and get him out from the paint mm-hmm. and moving around. I think he can handle himself, right? Then you've got Harrison Barnes on Matt Barnes. I'm not worried about that. Yeah. No, it's fine. You've got Redick on Thompson. That is interesting because Redick has been a Harden killer in this series.
Right, but Harden is a upfront player. Klay Thompson runs you ragged, man.
He runs just like Redick does. So he does. Sometimes the best defense is understanding that offense, and Redick knows that style of play because that's what he does.
Yeah, but the other thing too, when Redick's running in and out, when you're cutting in and out of those picks and you're getting those off screens, you're the offensive player. You're not getting touched. When you're on defense and now you're getting slammed, you're the one taking the shoulder. You're the one taking the little elbow. It drains you.
True.
The Clippers depend on Redick's offense.
It'll be interesting. I think he is an underrated defender. I still maintain that. He's obviously guarded Harden well. The biggest thing with Harden is you're just trying to contain him, not let him go off too much. That's largely happened. I think he can at least somewhat contain Klay.
We'll see.
Klay's a little bigger,
too. And then Chris Paul and on Steph Curry. I love it. I want to see those two go at it. I do, too. I think that... My whole point is, I think the Clippers can guard the Warriors. Definitely. On the other side of the ball, that's actually going to be a problem. So, if that's almost a wash, then you've got the Warriors having to guard the Clippers, right? Steph Curry, that's a problem. Him on Chris Paul, that's a problem. I don't like that for the Warriors, right? And then you've got Klay Thompson guarding Redick. You might actually have to flip those and put you'd have to put Steph...
I would probably put Curry out on
Redick
and put the bigger defenseman on on CP3.
Yeah,
depends on how healthy Chris Paul is. Is not playing like he used to. He doesn't have the explosion right now.
And see, this is where the gimmick comes in. Do you actually try to hide Curry instead on someone like Barnes?
Curry played a pretty good year on defense.
Statistically, yes. There's noise in that data, I fear. There's noise because the rest of the people he mostly plays with are so good. Klay Thompson is a great defender. Draymond Green is a great defender. Andrew Bogut's a great defender. Harrison Barnes is, he's fine. But when you play with three great defenders, your defense is going to start looking better and better. You know what I mean?
I'll give you that.
Granted, absolutely. I agree. He has gotten better. He's not at James Hardian levels of defense. But... I think it might be a little overblown how good his defense has gotten. Whatever the case is. We're hitting that point where my words don't start to add up, meaning we got to cut this thing off soon. So I'm going to go Clippers in seven.
That may Clippers be our seven. First disagreement on a series. Series.
I picked the Spurs to advance to the West, to the NBA Finals. In our first podcast.
To the Finals?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Man, good memory.
So I got to pick the winner out of that one, right?
Yeah, I'll just stick with it. So you got to take the team that knocked your team off. With that foolishness. Yeah, I got you.
All right, so this this love fest that is the Rockets Clippers is about to start. Any parting shots before we get out of here?
Please just get through this game without hacking somebody, please. I just want to watch this game and another parting shot before we go. Clippers win this. Golden State wins this. There's not going to be a game that comes on before 10 o'clock our time. It's going to be a horrible series to watch for us just in the fact that every game is going to go until 1:30 in the morning.
The playoffs are killing me.
I know.
The sleep has not been there. It's been rough.
It's been
the better games have been in the West Coast, and it's been rough. Needless to say, when you've got again adult responsibilities like a daytime job, it doesn't go well.
So, real quick,
yeah,
Clippers, Cavs. That's who you have in the finals.
Yeah, I'm saying Clippers, Cavs.
Who you taking?
I'm going to ride the wave and say the Clippers.
Look at it.
I'm going to say the Clippers.
Do it. I'm going to ride Golden State all the way.
Okay. So you have you have the Warriors and the Wizards. What's the alliteration here? Warriors, Wizards, Clippers, Cavs. This is weird.
Right, look at that.
These are the things I notice.
Oh, wow. That's why you do the analysis.
Yeah. On that note, I think it's time to put episode 5 in the books.
It is.
Sir, well done. Good job.
Well done.
Hey, thanks for listening. questions, comments, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at @hoop_nerd. Steve's at I don't have a Twitter account yet.
But will soon.
You got this from iTunes or Nylon Calculus. Give us some feedback, write back, like us on iTunes. Go listen to the other HP podcasts on there. There's great work out there. Go read all our good stuff on nyloncalculus.com as well. Otherwise, we're out of here. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one.
Talk to you.